Father, what a beautiful time of year this is. For we are graphically and vividly reminded of your great condescension for us. How sad that so few of us recognize it and instead have been caught up in the material aspect of this season. We come to you, Lord, so that you can make us different, so that we can honor you. And Lord, if I'm going to deal with this topic that you have given to me, I need the Holy Spirit. For I dare not trust myself and all of these people of yours who have come here are looking for something special. Would you please give it to us today and use me in spite of me so that we could see Jesus and hear him. Let the peace of heaven now rest on this congregation so that we can not only be attentive but respond as your Spirit speaks to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wonder how many of you have heard the saying there. Have you heard that? See something, say something. How many of you are aware of that? Okay, a lot of you are. That's impressive. This is from our Department of Homeland Security, motivated by the fear of a terrorist attack at any time, at any place, as we have been experiencing around this world at far too often a rate. And so it's called, if you see something, say something. And they're making a campaign to enlist everybody to buy into this. Notice it says, become a partner. Partners include, but are not limited to, states, cities, counties, airports, mass transit entities, sports leagues, teams, major sports events, entertainment venues, colleges, university, fairs, festivals, private sector business, media outlets. And then they say, get involved, join the campaign, become a partner, and join the If You See Something, Say Something campaign effort to protect our nation by raising awareness of the indicators of terrorist activity and the importance of reporting it to the local law enforcement by disseminating the campaign message. You'll play an intricate role in keeping our community safe. A little scary for me, they did that in Germany just before World War II. I can see our freedoms eroding, but that's not the point of this. We're going to do five things today, my friends. Wake up back there, please. Thank you. Number one, where did this statement really come from? Number two, what did the angels say? Number three, what did the angels say? Number two, and number three is what did the angels say? Number four, what did the shepherds do? And number five, what should we do? I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Luke, the second chapter. We're going to read first verse 8 through 12. We're going to look at question number 2, what the angels said, before we get to where did that statement come from. Okay, you got Luke, the second chapter. Everyone turn there with me to Luke, the second chapter. Boys and girls, get your Bibles, open them up. What a beautiful story. And I want you to follow along in your Bibles. For God has a message for every one of us today. You got Luke, the second chapter? Okay, let's start with verse 8. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For behold, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." What did the angel say to the shepherds? Have you ever looked at this very closely, by the way? You know, I wish you could all preach a sermon. Is it hard? Yes, it's very hard. But I am telling you, I can't tell you how many times God gives me an idea that I know came from Him. It did not come from me. And I have never really looked at what the angels were saying. The angels said to the shepherds. And so let's take a look. What did the angel say? First of all, do not be afraid. By the way, Jesus used to say that, right? He used to say, "Fear not, little flock." He used to say, "Let not your heart be troubled." He always comforted His people. Number 2, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." Number 3, "A Savior." Number 4, "Christ the Lord." Number 5, "The sign to you." 6, "A babe." And 7, "Wrapped in swaddling clothes." And number 8, "Lying in the manger." How come you forgot that one? These are all the buzzwords that a Jewish mind would comprehend, that this was something so incredible that it's almost indescribable. By the way, if I was a shepherd out in the field, I would have been very scared too, seeing the brightness. You know, you look for slides on the internet and pictures. This one I thought was pretty beautiful. But you know what? We can't capture the brightness of an angel. And imagine the shepherds out in the fields at night, and suddenly a blinding light that slowly came into focus, and they realized it was other than a human being. And that person, that divine person, said to you, to them, "Do not be afraid. No matter what you're facing, do not be afraid. In fact, I have come to bring you good tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you that you will find Him lying in a manger and wrapped in swaddling clothes." Have you really looked at these words? You know, in the Greek, and I decided to put the Greek for you to see, a statement that as I prepared this captivated me. Do you recognize that phrase? If you do, you're better than I am. But it says verse 10. So here's the English translation. For I bring good news to you, joy great. For gar. Good news. Euangelizo. Lidzomai. Humen to you. Chlorin, joy. And this one you'll recognize, Megalon, great. And so we put it all together, for I bring to you good news of great joy. And the way one translator translated this really captivated me. I hope it touches you. For I evangelize to you great joy. Evangelize means to go to somebody and bring a message. And that message is great joy. Not little joy, kind of joy, some joy. It's great joy. The angel came with great joy. The angel came to tell them about a Savior. Savior means the one who takes your place and delivers you. A Messiah, the Anointed One. And Lord, look at Lord. It means a person exercising absolute ownership rights. This isn't just an angel. This is God Himself. What a message this is, folks. What a message it is for the day in which we're living and the fear we're all experiencing. I wonder how many of you are practicing what we're practicing in our house that we haven't been since we got here, like locking the doors. Or making sure they're double locked. I mean, there's more break-ins all the time. You're going to go to the mall and you're afraid a bomb's going to go off. And here, way back a long time ago, in a desolate place where the shepherds were watching over their flock, an angel appeared to those common folk and said, "Do not fear. For I evangelize to you great joy." And notice it says to you. In fact, I also saw something I never noticed before. It said, "For unto you is born this day," in the King James, "unto you is born this day." The way we would say it is, "Born in the city of David to you is the Savior Christ the Lord." Can you imagine Jesus came to us? He didn't come to someone else. He came to us, all people. I wanted this to settle into our heads as we look at this beautiful message. I really wish I could do it more justice. But in the time we're living, there's no greater message that exists than this message that is brought to our attention at this period of time, Christmas. I bring you good news of great joy. And then what did the angel say? The angel, verse 13, he said, the angel said, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." What a contradiction it is to imagine what's happening around the world today. The world's not bringing glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to men. It's not doing it. But this message does. And the angels are the one that spoke it. Because God wanted us to be impressed. God wanted us to be comforted. Remember, this message started out, do not be afraid. Glory to God in the highest. You understand the birth of Jesus brought glory to God. Do you understand that our God, unlike any other God that man has made up on this planet, died for us? And the angels appeared to the shepherds, not to the rich, individually educated leadership folk. And he said to them, you're just as important as all the rest. Glory to God in the highest by the birth of Jesus Christ. Why he has no respecter of persons. The message of this time is incredible. We must capitalize on that. You got to invite your friends and neighbors to come next week to the Christmas Cantata. Why people are more likely to say yes to you at this time of the year than any other time. And once they come through the door once, they won't be so hesitant to come the second time. Why? Because we have a message to give. This all fits together. It's incredible to me. I never really looked at these words. You know, we're told in the spirit of prophecy, take one text, fix your mind on that text, he says, until the thought that God has in it for you is received. And I just read it and I knew what the word said, but I never was impacted before till now on what the angel and the angels said to some lowly shepherds, by the way, who were looked down by the religious leaders of their community. Do not fear. Well, number four, what did the shepherds do? Take a look at verse 15. This is where David read the scripture. Thank you for that, David. Our young people are very talented here and we're very thankful for them. So it was when the angel had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came in with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Are you ready? Verse 17. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. So what did the angels do? First of all, the angels were obedient and went to see with their own eyes. But what else did they do? They said something. They went and saw something and they shared something. That's where this statement came from. From the shepherds. In response to this beautiful message. When they saw it, they couldn't keep it to themselves. And we, folks, I am one of you. get so caught up in this season and buying this and buying that and there's no greater message that's ever been given on this planet. And when the shepherds went and saw something, they went and said something. In fact, look at the wording of verse 17. Now, when they had seen Him, they made, my Bible says, widely known what they saw. Are we doing that? When we have a God who created much glory for Himself by sending His Son to be born in a barn, to give us an example, and to die on the cross, we have something to share, folks, and we need to do it. You know, we're facing a new year. Of course, every year at this church, we encourage you to read through your Bible. I'd like to add to it this year that you have a Bible study with somebody. You share this with somebody. Pray that God brings somebody into contact with you. And by the way, we constantly have people who come and ask for Bible studies. Maybe one of them would be good enough for you. You know, we have young people in the church who want Bible studies. And what a nice place and safe place to start with one of the children. Because then you can get used to it. And why should we do it? Because our government is telling us right now, if you see something, say something. We have seen something. We've seen something incredible. We've seen our God give His Son to be born on this dark, ugly, dirty, rotten, crummy, low-down, no-good, evil planet. Would you give your Son to this situation? And so I thought, oh, Homeland Security's been reading the Bible. That's good, because they're going to find more protection there than what they're managing to do. They saw something and they shared something. So in this coming new year, I'm going to challenge you to pray. Put it on your prayer list. Write it down on a piece of paper. Put it in a spot where, you know, I never have any money. But if I do, I'll fold it up and put it there. And then every time I go to get my wallet out, I see it. You know, for me, I put things in my Bible. Why? I always have my Bible with me. Of course, that's not so typical anymore of us. We have our cell phones with us. But put it in a place to remind yourself. Pray, Lord, is there a person I can study the Bible with? Because we have something to share. And we'll let the Homeland Security and all the panicked people worry about security. Not that I'm not careful, okay, please. By the way, your deacons in this church are very vigilant. Some of them are outside right now looking at the parking lot and all the doors. This door over here, by the way, to come in is locked. We can get out, but they can't come in. So we got fewer doors to watch during church service. Why? We're not going to be foolish. But we got something more important to tell people. And that's this wonderful news about the God that we have and serve. So, where did that saying come from? If you see something, say something. It came just like many other sayings from the Bible, the Word of God. Luigi Tarossio was born in northern Italy of humble parents and is said to have trained as a carpenter, but he also played the violin as a hobby. He developed an interest in violins themselves, and as a connoisseur with a natural talent for business, he began to acquire and resell some of the many fine instruments that were laying unused in towns and villages of northern Italy. His first journey to Paris in 1827 was evidently profitable for him, for the dealer there who gave him every encouragement, so that that same year he made his greatest purchase. Acquiring a number of violins from Count Cozio of Salabu, including a 1760 Stradivarius in unused condition. The violin was Tarocio's treasure, and as he spoke of it in every visit to Paris, but he never actually brought it with him, and it became to be known the Messiah. In 1854, Luigi was found dead one morning with scarcely a comfort in the house in which he lived. But in the attic was a collection of instruments that numbered 246. And in the last drawer of a dusty, dirty old bureau was the Messiah. His very devotion to violins had robbed the world of all the music that could have been played for all those years. Silence. In fact, they figured out the Stradivarius that he purchased had been speechless for 147 years. How many of us are like old Tarocio? In our very love of the church, we fail to give the glad tidings to the world and share it with them. Let's be different. Let's change things. And let's not be like that. Father, I want to thank you for the challenge of the hour. I want to thank you for enlightening us a little further on what the angel really meant when he said what he said and what it means for us today. And now, Lord, help us not to keep it to ourselves. Find us each someone to share it with. Don't let anybody here be discouraged. Speak to their heart and mind, Lord, so that they will know that you're a merciful, patient, loving God, but it's now getting late and we need to do something about it. No more speechlessness, Lord. Help us to be more bold and share what a wonderful God we have, and we could see your kingdom grow and prosper. Make this possible through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.